It's good to have you here. We're finishing our last week this week of seasons. We've done a series for a little while called Seasons, and we just believe, because the Bible says that there is a season for everything in life. Every season of life has something for us, something that we can experience, something that we can excel at, probably some sort of limitation. And in all seasons of life, we recognize that God has a specific purpose for us. He's got a plan and a dream for us. He has specific goals for us to carry out. And we know that because God knows us. And so this week we're finishing off with our most seasoned people. The retired folks of this church is where we're at this week. Seasons, the last week is for the people who are young at hearts, the people who have been here and experienced the most, and that's who we're going to talk to this morning. Isaiah 65:8. I was coming home on the ferry last week, and God started speaking to me. I opened the Bible, and this is where I went, and God just started speaking to me about this Sunday. Isaiah 65:8. This is what the Lord says. As when juice is still found in a cluster of grapes, and men say, "Don't destroy it, there is yet some good in it," so will I do on behalf of my servants. I will not destroy them all. So basically what's gone on here is this is a prophetic book, and it's talking about Israel turning away from God, God's people turning away from God over and over and over, and he's just finished talking about some of the negative things, and then he says, but wait, I'm not done. There's some good here. There's something to be restored. I think sometimes what happens is we as a church, we as a society, we as people, and even the young at hearts themselves can start to feel like, I don't know if there's much good left to offer. I'm sort of going to slow down, and I'm sort of going to just wear out now and pass it off and let someone else take this, and I'll just slowly let things leave me. But God here says, wait, wait, wait. There's still some good left there. There's still something there. There's still something that should be done. In fact, there's something that no one else can do because you need to do it. And I'm so excited for our Young at Heart ministry, and I'm so excited for the people in this church who are that way. We've had prophetic words over this generation. At one point it was the above 50s, but then people started getting older in our church, and they were still living and still doing really well, and life was still theirs, and they were still serving in ministry. So then we're like, we can't have a plus 50 ministry, because that'd be half our church. So we've got to have like a somewhere in between 50 and 65, 70, and then one beyond that, because there was a prophetic word once that said, you're not going to wear out the same. You're not going to go to God sick. You're not going to die sick, but you're going to die with a bang. You're going to die with full life serving the church in a big and mighty and incredible way. Isn't that pretty cool? That's a pretty neat word. That's a pretty good word for this group of people, and I'm going to believe it. It was one of those words when I showed up at church, I read that, and I thought, that's something. I've told it before, but when I played Pastor Ken at squash, I realized it was true. You know? That was when it was. You know, I underestimated that guy, but I guess the power of God had done something in his life, and he beat me in squash. So I'm looking forward to when I'm in my, 70s, and then I'll probably be able to beat him. So anyways, this last week I got to go and spend some time with the Young at Hearts on Thursday, and I basically told them I'd like you guys to write my sermon for Sunday, because I don't know what I can say. I don't know what to say. And so I started asking them, what is your purpose? You know, if we know God has a purpose, what is it in the church? And the first thing that came out of their mouths was, we need to teach you how to read your Bible, Pastor. No, I'm just kidding. That's not what it was. Everyone's like, oh, that's not a good ministry. We should get that one out of here. That's not good. Yikes. No, they said, we praise and pray. That was the first thing. They praise and pray to God. I said, what? That's incredible. If I went to a youth and said, what's your purpose? That would probably be 100th on their list. Like they don't think that way right away. You know, they're like, well, I got to do some things and I need to get busy. And I need to lead and I need to get involved. I think I should preach and I think I should probably sing and I should probably play some guitar and go be a missionary in my school and do all of these things. They don't usually get to the place where praise and pray. The young at heart's the very first thing they said, we need to praise and pray to God. That was awesome for me. And then I started saying, why? They said, well, we have compassion that others usually don't because we've been through some stuff. Well, we have freedom that others usually don't because we don't have as much work to do. We're not as busy doing our jobs. Well, then they started walking through all of these things. Some said, we don't have to have as much fear as everyone else has. What do we have to fear? Look how, you know, it's not like we, a young person who's thinking death is so far from them. Someone who's getting on in age has probably considered death. And probably they've learned that God is going to lead them through it. And probably they've started to accept that they're going to be able to walk into that glory in an incredible way. So what's to fear? You know, what's to fear? We can dream bigger. We can be more expectant. And then one of the things that came up, and we talked about it a lot, was the idea of fathering, mothering, and mentoring. Taking care of the next. Taking care of who's coming up. Taking care of the ones that have big dreams but don't know how to carry it out. Taking care of the ones who aren't necessarily praising and praying as much as they should be. And so carrying the burden for them to praise and pray to God that God would do something incredible in their lives. So I really believe, here's what I think, that our young at hearts, our retired people, our most experienced in life in this church are for this church. They are the foundation on which the faith of the youth will grow. They're the foundation of this church. They're the ones who have laid a foundation so that we can build. I remember talking to Ruth Fox on her birthday, and I said to her, "You Ruth, you've built something, and it's on your shoulders that I get to stand." I had someone one time say to me that all I want to do in your life, Ev, all I want to do for you is I want to push you as high as I've ever gone and then have you jump off my hands. That's what I want to do. When people start thinking that way, all of a sudden we can do some incredible things. When people start recognizing that they are laying a foundation on which others can grow, then that means we can go higher than we've been before. We can build things that we've never built before. We can achieve things that we've never seen before. We can expect things that we've never expected before. We can have our eyes open to things that they've always been shut to before. The Bible talks a lot about foundations. Jesus says in Matthew 7:24, he talks about obedience being the foundation for your faith in life. It's pretty neat how Jesus says it, actually. He talks about, he doesn't say faith is the foundation of your life. He says obedience is the foundation of your life. He says, he talks about a wise and foolish builder, and the wise builder builds their house on the rock. And those who listen to my words and do what I say is like that builder. Those who do what I say has a solid foundation. That's what Jesus says. Another spot in scripture we see that He is the foundation of Christianity. 1 Corinthians 3:10, by the grace God has given me, I laid a foundation as an expert builder. That's Paul speaking. And someone else is building on it. But each one should be careful how he builds, for no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid. And it's Jesus Christ. Jesus is always going to be the foundation of this church. He's always going to be the foundation of all that we do. He's the foundation of our Christian life. And yet, in this different spot in Scripture, in Ephesians, in fact, some scholars have wondered if this was even Paul talking because it's so different than the other spots. In Ephesians 2:19 to 20, he says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and aliens, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of God's household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. So Paul pulls away and said, yeah, Jesus is the foundation. But wait, this movement has another foundation. It's the apostles and prophets. They're sort of founded on Jesus, and they have a foundation in Him so they can be a foundation for others. And I believe onto that heritage in Northgate Foursquare Church, we have a new foundation. One that goes on those foundations. One that's established in a new way. And it is the retired people. The young at hearts of our church. I really believe that. A foundation has a lot of qualities, and I'm going to talk about five of them. Talk about five actual foundations, and talk about how those line up with our young at heart people. The first is that a foundation takes a long time to build. Has anyone ever made a foundation? Some of the construction people have done foundations. I've done one foundation in my life, and I think that should be the last. And it was for a shed. I was working for a renovation company, and we came. Renos shouldn't be worrying about the foundation. But anyways, we came in, and it was my uncle and I. We were just trying to figure it out. Both of us hadn't done foundation before, so a lot of YouTube videos and trying to learn. And so we were looking at how to do this, and it took forever. Building a foundation takes forever. You're bending all the rebar and putting it together, and then watch a YouTube video, and then carry on a little bit more, and, you know, do some more things, and take it back apart because you messed it up, and then put something back. You know, for us, it probably took a little longer than it should, but no matter what, it takes a long time to build a foundation. When I lived in Victoria, there was this one place I'd walk by probably twice a week because I had to walk by there to my coffee shop. So I go by there probably twice a week, and it was this huge hole in the ground. They're building something. But to me, it looked like they were building nothing, because I'd walk by there day after day after day after day, and there's tons of workers down there. So many fluorescent vests, reflective vests, working away, doing their thing. I'm hearing lots of hammering. I'm hearing lots of banging, but I'm seeing nothing. You know what I mean? Have you ever seen a building, like a big building, slowly coming up from the ground? It's just a big hole for weeks and weeks and months. It seems like it goes on forever. I think, are these people, like, what are they doing? Why can't they build this thing already? I should get in there. I built a shed, you know? Shed foundation. Only took me weeks for that one, you know? So I think, what are they, like, honestly, what is going on? Is it one big coffee break, or what's happening? And then all of a sudden, like, it's wild how it happened. I'd walk by for weeks and weeks and weeks, and nothing seems to happen. And then all of a sudden, I come walking by one day, I'm like, there's a building here. What just happened? You know? If you've ever built something, you know that that's how it works. You're building slowly. You got to make sure everything's square. Everything's how you need it to be. Everything's lined up. Everything is, this is the base on which the entire building is going to rest. You're going to build on top of this thing. If you're going to build on top of this thing, you better make sure it's right. And if you're going to make sure it's right, it takes a lot of time, doesn't it? You got to work hard at that foundation. The people who have gone before us in this church have worked hard for this church. Blood, sweat, and tears have poured into this church. Big dreams, big giving, big generosity, high expectations. People who have sought God and prayed for Him and prayed for revival and believed for something to happen. People who have come along and said, Jesus, we're going to give You our whole lives, and we're going to give them to You right here in the middle of the Comox Valley. It took lots of work, and they had to live the Christian life too. They had to be holy and righteous and push hard. It's not just about building something and letting your life fall away. They worked hard to live, not give, not just a building legacy or a church legacy, but a legacy of life, a legacy of purity, a legacy of holiness before God. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." Young at hearts, you're still here. Don't grow weary. Keep going. You know, we've seen some harvest, but there's a whole lot more to see. There's so much more to see. And young at hearts, if you're in that retired age group, it's not time to say, whew, I'm all done. No, there's still a harvest. You still have breath in your lungs. It's not the proper time yet then, I guess. So do not give up. Do not grow weary in doing good. Keep going. Keep building it. It takes a long time, but keep building that foundation. Proverbs 27 says, "The righteous man leads a blameless life. Blessed are his children after him." Doesn't say blessed are, is that person? Blessed are the children that come after when you live a life for God. So number one, foundations take a long time to build. Number two, foundations aren't the finished product. Have you ever gone driving through a neighborhood to look at nice houses? Or anyways, I have. I dream. you know, that would be nice, that would be amazing. Driving through, maybe you check out a new development, new things. Have you ever driven through a neighborhood to check out all the foundations? Probably not. Whoa, look at that, you know. I bet you there's a, I don't even know enough to say what anything about a foundation, so I won't even try. But you're driving, no one goes driving down the road and say, hey, listen, the foundations are up, let's go. Unless you're a construction person, you really love that stuff. But anyone will drive through a neighborhood and say, look at these beautiful houses. No one drives through and says, look at those amazing foundations. I just cannot believe it. Can you believe it? You just don't do that. We don't do that. Foundations aren't the finished product. They are usually the thing that makes, they are not usually the thing that makes the house look most impressive. Sometimes when we're talking to, when I'm talking to the young at heart, that could be a hard thing, a hard pill to swallow. Wait. We wouldn't be the thing that makes our church look the most, look a certain way. No, you're the foundation, young at hearts. You're the ones on top of whom we can build, on top of whom we can create and make and develop and establish, and it's going to be what draws people in. And we can't do it without the foundation that was laid before. But in that process, sometimes people aren't looking to the foundation. And when people walk into a house, they don't say, oh, that's nice, I like the fixtures, but let's see the foundation. It doesn't happen as much that way. Sometimes young at hearts find themselves naturally and sometimes need to choose that they're going to find themselves in a place saying, I'm going to support the work of the ones who are coming, even though they're going to get most of the credit. That can be a hard pill to swallow sometimes. And as Christians, that's kind of our call always. But when you're young at heart, you probably have figured out how to do that in a better way. 1 Corinthians 12:27 says, now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. We're all a part of it. We're not all the whole thing. We're all a part of it. When Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians 3:10, like we just talked about, he said, someone else is building on it. I laid a foundation, someone else is building on it. He's talking about how everyone was looking at this guy named Apollos, saying, hey, so Paul, who should we follow, you or Apollos? Like, what do you say? What should we do? And he says, whoa, I laid a foundation, he's building on it. Whatever, you can look at whoever you want, it's about Jesus. I'm going to lay a foundation for Jesus, someone else is going to build on it for Jesus. As long as you see Jesus, I don't care who you see. And the reality is the foundation is not really what people are looking to, and yet there's nothing that we can do if we don't have a foundation. The building crumbles. We don't even get started without the foundation, but it's not the finished product. Number three is this. Foundations often outlive the building on top. I don't know if you've ever seen that. Some of the young at hearts are like, I don't think I'm going to outlive anyone. And Pastor Matt is not going to, die before the young at hearts are going to. But anyways, what they do outlive sometimes is the faith of the young. Sometimes the faith of the young wavers, and those who have walked out faith for a long time seem to have such a steadiness in their walk. I've been here before. I've seen tragedy before. I've seen challenge before. I've walked through sickness before. I've walked through friends and family passing away around me before. God is still my God. I still worship Him. I still follow Him. And I know how that looks for my life. Let me tell you, young at hearts, we need that so much. When you look at youth, we can get pretty discouraged sometimes when we look at youth and young people because their faith goes about like this. I love Jesus so much. I don't know if I really believe in Jesus. This is the best life. I will give my whole life to Jesus. I think I'm going to be a teacher. That's bad. I would do anything for you, Jesus. Anything. I'll give all my money. Hey, here's a new shirt and new shoes and new all this stuff. I love it all. So I just think I'll do that for now. Lord, I will be a celibate for life if you want. Hey, there's a cute girl. Let's go fall. Youth don't, they're all over the map. They're all over the place. And we can say, oh, we've got no hope. Where are we going to go? That's not a faith that we can rest on. It's not supposed to be a faith we can rest on. The faith we're resting on is those who've come before, who are the foundation, who have stood strong, who have stood the test of time. That's why the Bible says, gives us stories of youth going astray and parents standing strong and youth coming back. The prodigal son story. There's a dad. A son comes up to his dad and says, "Hey, Dad, I want your money. So I don't care. You're basically dead to me. Give me my inheritance." And the dad says, "Son, I love you. Here's your inheritance." Sends him away. The son goes, blows it all. Now imagine if at that point in the story, the father was like, "You know what? I think I'm just going to go and do my own thing too. Nothing's really going to happen here. Nothing's happening in this world. If that's who we're resting on, if that's the faith that we're relying on to move this church forward, forget it. It's not going to happen. I'm going to go and blow all my money too and go gambling and hanging out and doing all the stuff that I want to do." Then all of a sudden the son would come back. There's no father to come back to. But since the dad stayed there, since the dad said, "You go, son. You go do your rebellious thing. You go do your crazy thing. You go do your wild thing. I'm not going to put all the hope of this place on you. I'm not going to rest it on your shoulders. But I am going to stand here until you come back and you're ready to build for the kingdom of God." And the dad stood there. The son comes back and says, "Dad, I'm back. I'm so embarrassed. I can't believe it." And the dad said, "Let's get to work. Let's party. You're back. I don't need it. Don't worry about your faith. My faith was good enough. I'm still here. I'm ready to go." And that's all based on God being faithful to us. But in the same way in this church, the faith of the youth will waver. And it does. The Bible tells us so. But they will return and there will be a foundation for them to build on. There will be something for them to start. There will be something for them to carry on, a legacy for them to move forward with. Proverbs 22:6 says, "Train a child in the way he should go, and when he is old," not when he is a youth, not when he is a young adult necessarily, though it happens, and we love it when it happens, "when he is old, he will not turn from it." When he is old, he'll pick up the foundation piece, and he'll be the one who carries it. The fourth one, we have foundation. Foundations take a long time to build. Foundations aren't the finished product. Foundations often outlive the building on top, and foundations carry a lot of weight. Foundations are built to carry a lot of weight. There's a lot of weight that all of a sudden starts to land on the shoulders of those who are praying and those who are praising God. There's a lot of spiritual burden that starts to be placed on them if they're the ones who have to look to Jesus. This morning we sing a song. We say we're looking to Jesus. We're believing in Jesus. Well, sometimes younger people will say that on a Sunday and they'll leave here and totally forget that. And the older people are looking and saying, how are we forgetting God? How are we forgetting God in our week? We can't do that. We need to remember. You sometimes know. You've walked through some things and you know Jesus in a more real and tangible and incredible way. Because of that, you carry a burden. You carry a weight that feels heavy. Foundations carry a lot of weight. God will be with us. The last one is this. Foundations need houses. Worship team and Pastor George and Jessica, you can make your way over there. We're having a communion Sunday, and so some of our team is just going to go and take communion together and then help us take it in a few moments. Foundations need houses. Psalm 71:18. "Even when I'm old and gray, do not forsake me, O God, till I declare your power to the next generation, your might to all who are to come." I love it. The prayer of the psalmist. God, don't take me until I've declared it to the next generation. Until the next generation are ready to pick up what I leave behind. Until the next generation are ready to become the foundation. Don't take me. Don't take me until I feel like something is set in place. Don't take me until I've declared it, until I've encouraged someone, until I've reminded someone of their potential, until I've spoken someone's calling into their life, until I've reminded them of who God has made them to be and how He's destined them for a great and mighty future, until I've shown the young who they can be in Jesus Christ. Until I have gotten to do that, don't take me. Because what's a foundation if it never has a house? It's not serving the purpose it was supposed to serve. It never becomes what it was meant to become. If it's just a foundation, it never becomes a house. Young at heart, at some point you were the house on a foundation, and then your steadiness became a new foundation. And there's an important piece of building the house next. But youth and young adults, it's time to start building. Time to start building on that foundation that's been laid before you. When I came to this church, I knew we had a solid foundation. I was so thankful for it. When I had Gert come up to me almost every single Sunday to remind me that I was called to do this. She didn't have to do that. She didn't have to remind me of that. She didn't have to speak that into my life. She could have sat back and said, well, let's see how the new pastor does. See if he says the right things. See if he does the right things. See if I can catch him in some sort of sin somewhere along the way. Like, let's see. No, instead she said, I'm going to come up to my pastor every single week and tell him that you are called to this, that God has brought you here, that He has destined you to be here, and that we're going to see great things because of you being here. That's a foundation and a half. It's not every church that has a foundation like this. And when I started praying about, when I was praying about this morning, God just started reminding me of that in Victoria, that foundation. And how it felt like nothing was happening for a long, long time. And then when it happened, it happened. But the building still stands, because the foundation was set. I really believe God's leading us into a time where all of a sudden we're going to see a lot of growth. We're going to see something happen in a big way. We're going to see some building where people will say, whoa, 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 how did that happen so fast? We'll say, it didn't. It didn't happen fast. It took a whole lot of investment from a whole lot of people for generations, setting a foundation, making sure the rebar is right, praying for the right things, believing for the right things, and expecting that God was going to move. How many people have prayed for the future of this church and are no longer with us? How many people have believed for the future of this church and are no longer here? They've set out a foundation of faith and said, run on this. Young people, get up and run on this. Young people, start building, start praying, start expecting, start believing that something more is going to happen. Not because we're so good at building, but because the foundation is set. Not everyone gets that kind of foundation. And we have it. We have it in this church. Let's expect that some buildings are going to go up around here. Let's expect that we're going to see some young people called into whole new roles in this church, to whole new dreams. Let's expect that some people are going to be called into ministry, that they're going to choose, instead of going to the school that gives them the best career, they're going to choose to follow ministry. In the time where it seems uncertain what a pastoral position will be in the future, they're going to take it anyway and say, God just called me, so that's what I'm going to do. People who have decided that they put aside their overseas travel because they want to stick around and just do their thing, we're going to see them start to build even overseas and start to do greater things that way. People who feel like they need to get out of the Comox Valley because I just need to go and figure out how to make more money or how to be more successful, they're going to start to get creative and say, God, if you put me here, I will change this city for your glory. I'm tired myself of hearing people say that young adults leave the Comox Valley. That's bogus. Young adults don't just need to leave the Comox Valley. Unless our God is not a God of miracles. Young adults need to see what could happen in this Comox Valley. You can go somewhere else and not find a foundation like this, or you can find a foundation like this and start building something incredible. And I believe that could happen here in the Comox Valley. We're set for it. We're set for it. We're set for it. If you're very young at heart in this room, would you just take a moment to stand for us, if you're able? You can determine if you are or not. If you show up on Thursday, probably are. If you're retired, you know, would you just stand up so we can just see you, see where the foundation has been set. Yeah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, would you pour out your Spirit even in the last stage of these lives, God? Would you do greater than they've ever known? Would these be the best days that they've ever seen? I pray that the young at hearts would believe for this church now like they've never believed. Expect greater things than they've ever expected for this church, God. I pray they'd invest more than they've ever invested. That young people would feel encouraged and empowered and uplifted and equipped because of the foundation of this church. Jesus, thank you for what has gone before. Thank you for what has laid the foundation, God. Now we expect in Jesus' name that something greater is coming. A foundation is not a finished work. God, we're ready to build. We're ready to build. We expect that you would do it. Bless these people. Bless their families. Bless their homes. Bless their lives, Lord. Bless any broken relationships. I pray they'd be restored now in Jesus' name. That forgiveness would come. Apologies would come, Lord. Restoration would come. Grace would come in Jesus' name. Pour a greater revelation of Jesus Christ to these people, that they would know you more than they've ever known you, Lord. Bless them. Bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 You can have a seat.